So how you guys been?
Pretty good.
I've been fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of new exploits that came out.
My voice is a little rough.
You do. You sound sick.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I thought I was dying. It started out as a little dry cough. Then went down into my chest, then went up into my nose, my eyes, and then came out the other end. And then, you know, I thought I was COVID bound, but I tested negative today.
No good.
Could be a false negative. I don't know, but I'm not taking any chances. But anyway, I feel like I'm getting better now. I think it peaked yesterday. But good. I'll try to muddle through and apologize for the rasp.
Oh, come on. Now you have that Barry White voice.
Hey, baby.
You'll never find.
That's Lou Rawls, my friend. Know your black singers.
Wow, Patrick. Wow.
Wow.
Uncultured.
All right. What happened this week, guys?
So I think we open with Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Yeah.
So this is a dark reading article. Costa Rica declares a state of emergency under sustained Conti cyber attack. So for those of you who haven't been following the podcast or Conti, I guess.
Right.
Conti is a ransomware group that's affiliated with or in love with or says great things about Russia.
Right.
But they've been operating and they did get breached.
Okay.
Conti. And their source code got released.
Right.
So what's interesting about this article is, yes, they were hit by Conti, and it actually shut a lot of the divisions of the government down.
Yeah, this article says they declared a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm. So the ransomware they were asking for was $10 million.
Wait a minute. $10 million can shut down a country?
Apparently.
Small country. Well, so there's also some countries don't allow them to just pay ransoms.
Don't deal with terrorists. Yes.
Hey, that's my realm. Patrick, your dream came true.
The
country doesn't allow them to pay ransoms. That's your thing.
The country isn't allowed itself to pay ransoms. I don't think they made it illegal.
Oh.
The other thing to know about Costa Rica is they're the country, if I'm correct, that's trying to make Bitcoin one of their currencies or their official currency.
Well, it's on the downslide.
What could go wrong?
Well, what's sad is not only is it affecting the government because it's the finance department or division or ministry or whatever they call it is also running into issues. A lot of local vendors and that sort of stuff are now having issues conducting normal business, which sucks. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting about this is Conti wanted $10 million on ransomware stuff, right?
Right.
And Costa Rica said no. And then the U.S. said, oh, by the way, we'll give $15 million to anybody who can give us information about that group.
Whoa. All right. So Conti was originally asking for $10 million. Costa Rica said no. And the U.S. says, I'll see your $10 million and raise you $5
and make it an assassination attempt. Wow. That's awesome. It's awesome.
Well, we decapitated Al-Qaeda quite a bit by putting those bounties out.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if we get cyber bounties, actually, Patrick. But on top of that, like, Conti's source code was released, so I wonder how many of these are going to end up being copycats.
Interesting.
People with the source code for Conti and then just riding their coattails. Oh, yeah, we're Conti, but it's actually a different variant. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see. So, yeah, we talked about Conti's source code being hacked a few weeks ago, several weeks ago now. So we knew that was happening. Well, we'll have to keep our eye on that one. What's this thing about CISA? The CISA warning.
Listen,
about Windows.
This is probably the only time I'm going to say this ever. But for all of you who have listened to the Security This Week podcast, every week we have said, patch. Go patch. This week I'm going to tell you not to patch.
Oh, no. No, don't patch.
Don't patch.
It's like a game of red light. 1, 2, 3, red light.
When did he patch? He don't patch.
So, unfortunately, the latest patch that comes from Microsoft fixes, which sounds fantastic, a flaw in, I won't go too deep into this, but a flaw in the way that tokens are passed around in authentication in Windows. I'll leave it at that.
So Microsoft created the problem accidentally?
Well, So Microsoft created the problem when they invented NTLM, but
unintended feature.
Right.
Next Technology LAN Manager, which is a network protocol, right?
Yeah, and that's how when you communicate with a Windows share, so when you open up a, you know, a share on a computer, a remote computer, you're communicating using the NTLM protocol. So it's SMB, but a lot of the authentication is NTLM.
SMB is the sort of the standard, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's interesting about this is lots of people, let's say, and actually let's go, I guess we'll go down this path a little bit, but okay. Let's say you were to reach out to me as a computer. I'm going to need your username and password to understand whether you should have access to see the things that I'm sharing.
Right.
Well, when you hand me, you don't hand me your username and password. That would be insecure. You hand me a hash, which is just a long cryptographic set of numbers.
Sure. It's a one-way encrypted string, basically.
Correct.
You can't.
And they say, listen, you can't crack. Yeah, you can't decrypt it. Now, there are ways to, with rainbow tables and figure out what they are, but let's assume you can't decrypt it. But what
Dwayne
you can do,
decrypt it, but you can't.
But you can't. But what you can do is, in some cases, take that hash and then play it against another computer. So let's say I'm a bad computer and Carl's a client and Patrick's a good computer. Carl reaches out to me and I force him to reach out to me in a couple different ways. I grab his hash and then I play his hash against Patrick, the computer. Now, Patrick thinks that Carl is trying to authenticate.
But somewhere in that, we talked about this before, and I think it even might have been on the first or second episode. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in that chain, it breaks down because if you're a website or, you know, a remote computer, somebody's not going to give you a hash. They're going to give you, or are they going to give you a hash?
They can, oddly enough. I can force them to give us a hash on a remote.
It depends on whether they've protected against replay and how it's an arms race.
All right. So it depends on how smart they are to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, this think about on a corporate network or even just your home network. Like if I were to break into your Wi-Fi at your house, I'm on your network. So I can force you to try and connect to me, grab your credentials from your computer and then replay it against maybe your Synology that has all of your, you know, financials on it or whatever.
Synology being a big hard drive, right?
Yeah. Right. A network attached hard drive.
NAS.
NAS.
Like boss NAS.
Storage.
So what's interesting about this is that type of replay attack where you can what's called pass the hash. I can take these hashes and pass them around. Microsoft has been trying to chase their tail around stopping this from happening. And there's a lot of really good research out there. For those of you who want to take a look at Petit Potem, that is a
That's a
tool.
French dish with potatoes, isn't it?
It might be.
No?
It might be.
Served
actually,
in an
eggshell?
Is it everything a French dish with potatoes? This isn't a video blog, but Carl's got this evil villain vibe with his glass.
He does.
His glass of alcohol. And
that's actually not alcohol. It's
NyQuil.
It's an electrolyte drink in a wine glass just to make me feel
the blood of his victims.
Just to make me feel a little better about being sick.
So if you take a look at that tool, what it does is there's a researcher who's been saying, well, okay, what if I take these types of hashes and I take them from, you know, you trying to authenticate to a share and then I play it against the domain controller or I play it against LDAP or I play it against different services.
In other words, you impersonate that person trying to log.
Correct. So Microsoft says, hey, listen, we'll fix it. We'll fix it. And they fixed it. And in fixing it, they actually broke Active Directory. So back to why you're not patching this week. You're patching every device you own except for your Windows domain controllers.
Now, if you don't know what a Windows domain controller is, you have nothing to worry about.
Exactly, 100%.
If you did, if you had one, you would know it because it would be making your life a living hell. Am I right, guys?
100%.
So the domain controller is basically the one source of truth. And the domain controllers in your network would allow you to log in to multiple resources with the same username and password. And
see, here's the problem. For years, IT people have been screwing with developers just trying to be productive. And they put up these domain controllers and firewalls and passwords. All these stupid things. So we can't do our job. Mm-hmm. Man, I hate those guys.
I could have changed 8 of those words and made that a network rant against developers.
You probably could have.
So the domain controllers are part of, you know, any network where you start getting a number of people. And let's talk about the history just for a second so people understand this wasn't arbitrary, though some developers like to think so.
Oh, here we go.
If you had a network of 4 people, and one of them had a printer, and one of them had a shared storage device, and one of them had, you know, a monitor or something. Every one of them had resources that you wanted to share. Then what you'd have to do is you'd have to go and set an account up for each person on each of those computers with the same password or a known password. So when I wanted to connect to Dwayne's system and use his printer, I'd have to know the password from my account on his system. When I wanted to use the storage on Carl's system, I'd have to use a username and password on his system. And to make it easier, I'd use the same password. Or to make it even easier, we'd all use the same password. And so there's just no security and it doesn't scale well. You get to 10 users and now everyone's got 10 different accounts. And, you know, I can't print because I don't have an account on that computer and I need the color printer. So it became unmanageable very early. And so the domain controller's role is to centralize all that authentication. And it does it very well, but it also is a complicated, and it's also something that gets attacked very often because it's the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, like you said, it's the one source of truth.
Right.
If it goes down, we all go down.
Right. So Microsoft has for many years, as far as I know, said, not a bug when people complained about pass the hash.
Which is quite, it can be a completely different, taken a completely different way.
Yeah. Depending on the circles you're in.
Depending on what state you live in.
We get you detained in most airports.
Let us remember that Microsoft is in Washington State, where passing the hash is completely legal.
There you go.
Well, so for many years, people have complained about aspects of the ability to pass the hash, but Microsoft insisted works as designed.
Yeah.
You know, you other mitigations are possible. Not a problem. It sounds like there's been an incident or there's been a movement where they've tried to fix it or at least some aspect of it. And maybe this is the reason they didn't want to fix in the past is it broke some stuff. So there's always more to the story.
You know what? I think I just discovered a new side effect of COVID.
What's that?
You can smell stupidity.
That is interesting.
I can smell stupidity. Oh yes, it's definitely a stupidity.
So, you know, the best thing to do is to not let anybody on your private network.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Unless you have to. Now what do you do if you have to?
They get on a guest network.
Okay.
If it's at your house, like literally, if somebody comes to your house, give them the guest network.
If you have a domain controller at your house,
you need
therapy.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
I was going to say, therapy, Patrick and I boys. Both have domain controllers.
I got my therapist.
66% of this call has domain controllers
at their
house.
I got them on speed dial. I'll send it over for you.
Dwayne, install a domain controller on Carl's house.
I'm doing it. So 100% of the people on this call have domain controllers.
Did I say something? I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It was just a joke. It was a joke, guys. It was a joke.
And on that note,
this show has taken a new turn.
It has. Wow.
We're turning on each other.
We're turning on each other. It's another side effect of COVID.
So the moral of the story is never patch again. Is that what you're saying?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, just not today.
I almost would wish people would patch and break the domain controller because at least it'd be secure. Nobody can get access to
it. It would be safer to down your network by patching than it would be to not patch. Patching is...
But, yeah.
And people will use this. That's the problem. This happens every year or two and people will use this as an excuse for not patching. And it's like the one person out of a million that doesn't die because they weren't wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
And then justifies not wearing a seatbelt. It doesn't hold up to scrutiny.
No.
All right. Let's check out the scorecard for today. We've talked about Conti. We talked about Microsoft.
Yes.
CISA.
CISA. Who haven't we talked? I know. WordPress.
WordPress.
We haven't talked about WordPress in a while.
A couple of weeks. It's been weeks.
It has been a little while. There's been quiet exploits going on in the background. So
it's been a minute.
Yeah. So last week, two WordPress plugins. Our CVSS score 9.9, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who haven't been following, the CVSS score is kind of, think of it as like the Richter scale of exploits. Wow. 10 is the highest. 9.99 is almost right out there.
I think so.
So both of these allow for website and or computer takeover, remote code execution and or privilege escalation.
Okay.
So if you are running these plugins, so I haven't even mentioned the plugins. So one is the Tatsu WordPress plugin.
No, that's a Japanese pork dish that you use with rice noodles. What is wrong with you people?
Carl's hungry. Everything's coming back to food. Is that a French dish?
That's true. Now that you mention it, I am a bit back dish.
All right. So there's that plugin, which interestingly enough was patched in April, but there's still 50,000 websites out there that are running the unpatched version.
Hmm.
So here I'll come back to go patch
that we know of.
That patch.
When you say 50,000, that's a round down. There's at least 50,000.
At least 50,000. The second plugin is the Jupyter WordPress theme plugin, and this is a theme builder for WordPress that's on about 90,000 blog sites.
Is that
online
the
magazines,
Hack Me
platforms,
Now theme?
That sort of stuff. Yeah, pretty much. This one's awesome.
there's a lot of variants of that one.
Awesome. Yeah, that one's new. So that one has the critical vulnerability of 9.9 as marked as critical. Remote code execution allows people to take over the website.
Jeez.
Interestingly enough, if you take a look at the last plugin, the Tatsu WordPress plugin, if you scroll down in the articles we'll put on there, they say, hey, listen, yes, it's being exploited in the wild, mm-hmm. but we've seen more than 1 million attacks on this plugin alone come from 3 IP addresses.
Whoa.
So, okay. So while we were talking, I'm looking through this article and I saw those IP addresses and I think to myself, I wonder where they are. So I started tracking back the IP addresses on my favorite IP tracker website.
Was not me.
And I put in one and okay, we'll play the game. Where do we think they came from?
China. New London. Russia. How about Russia?
Not Russia.
No?
Not China.
China?
Iran.
Not China?
No.
North Korea.
No, which is weird. You guys have named like the top four, but no on all of them. Germany.
Germany?
Yeah. A million attacks come from 3 IPs out of Germany.
Oh my God, Augustus Gloop is sitting at his computer hacking the world.
Wait, was that the kid from Willy Wonka?
Stuffing his face with chocolate.
Augustus. So what's interesting, so I'm on this site, right? And while you guys are going through and we were just talking, I'm on this site and I'm like, oh, let me track these IPs. And I typed one of the IPs in wrong.
Uh-oh.
And what came up was what I just posted in our chat. It says, warning, can't modify header information security already sent by blah, blah, blah. Here's the path to the home directory of the web page /home/prodoc/public/html/public/tracker.org/file/area.php. Here's the error in line 713 of the code. Here's the lookup. I was like,
Jeezum.
Wow.
That's now probably a deep website.
Now I want to dig into that.
No.
Well, I mean, that's bait, isn't it?
No, it's probably a big...
That
they
like
gave
a
it to me, Patrick. I should be able to look at it.
Sounds like a honeypot to me.
No, what I think is going on is there's the surface web, which is the web that we all like navigate and that's indexed. And the deep web is the behind the scenes portals and private sites and paywall stuff. And I think you stumbled onto an IP address that has one of those on it with a horrible information leak in its error message.
Or it could be a honeypot.
No, this is on the IP tracker site.
Oh, yeah, but you put in the wrong IP address.
In the tracker site. So in the tracker site, you can put in an IP address and you can say, I want to know where this is. And it just tells
you
hey, this is in Berlin. This is whatever.
Okay.
I didn't go to the IP address. The tracker site gave me that error because I typed in the IP address with a bracket in it.
Oh.
I hit the
I'm
wrong
sorry,
button.
Is Jordy LaForge here?
Okay, so the tracker
I'm completely lost.
The tracker's not behaving itself. Completely lost. We're basically saying a hacker tool has some bad information handling.
The tool I use to look up where IP addresses exist in the world, if you type in the wrong IP address, you can see the code behind that site.
That's pretty crazy.
Bad form.
Bad form.
A PHP site, but we won't say which site it is.
That's like the old ASP sites with the yellow screen of death that listed all the source code and said, the problem is here.
Right. And you're like, thank you.
On line 27, right?
In this exact right version of .NET.
Yeah, right. When you hard-coded the password. In the string.
Sadly, that still happens.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. There is a problem with the fact that the world creates these applications and then there's no budget for maintaining them until they become so deprecated and so broken security-wise that they're Swiss cheese. And some of them are important applications. This is what gets a lot of the hospitals in trouble, is they don't allocate budget for maintenance over time. It's fire and forget. And the problem is these technologies age out.
Yeah.
All right, I wonder what else I could put in that page. No, all right. Anyhow. back to not hacking.
I think Dwayne's a little distracted right now.
I know.
He just found a gold mine.
I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on because I actually the next thing I want to talk about before we talk about the best article ever. But before we move on to the best article ever, the next thing I want to talk about is Pwn to Own. Have you guys been following Pwn to Own?
You were telling me a little bit about it before we started recording, but I really hadn't heard of it before then.
Pwn to Own's awesome. Think if the nerds had an Olympics where you had announcers and everything, and they were announcing on exploits, and they had to happen in real time right there. That's what Pwn to Own is.
So it's like a Hack the Box live event?
For the most part, yes, but better.
So these hackers are competing to do what? To find vulnerabilities and then go ask for money?
Yeah. So it's...
Or they're going to tell the world about them?
No. So what happens is they're given a range of targets. Hey, we want you to take a look at Word, Microsoft Word. We want you to take a look at Apple Safari. And they come prepared and they exploit that particular application with a zero day, something that hasn't been patched, that is devastating, that they could sell to any ransomware company. They could sell to any underground market for, you know, $500,000 up to $2 million.
Right.
And instead they turn it over to the vendor and the vendor pays the money. And it's a 2-day event.
Well, they don't turn it over. They say, hey, if you don't give us whatever money, then we're going to turn it over to the dark web, right?
No,
it's a bug bounty.
It is a bug bounty 2-day event. Yes. And they have announcers and all sorts of stuff, and you can watch
it. So wait a minute. But okay. So do they tell Microsoft, hey, I'm going to find a vulnerability in a zero day in one of your applications. And if I find it, will you give me $150,000?
Yes. And Microsoft, not only that, Microsoft comes to the table and says, if you find a vulnerability in, say, Microsoft Teams, we'll give you $150,000.
That's funny you said Microsoft Teams and what was the other one?
Word. Right. Microsoft Word.
But Teams. So they actually found this. So this is really cool. I mean, think of how much pizza and Mountain Dew you'd have.
Oh, my God. Hot Pockets. Do people eat Hot Pockets anymore? I don't know. Yeah. So it was interesting. So if you follow the Pwn to Own Twitter, every couple of hours, you'll see them say, Magical Unicorn has exploited this particular piece of software. So yesterday,
that is awesome. I admit that is awesome. You know why it's awesome? It's awesome. A win-win. It's a win for Microsoft or whoever has the vulnerability because it makes the world safer. And it's a win for them because they get some money and they can sleep at night knowing they didn't sell it to the dark web.
Yeah, exactly. They're not always looking over their shoulder. And on top of that, honestly, a lot of these teams are legitimate security researchers who work for large companies and then turn these over.
We've worked with bug bounty companies. Who's the company that we used last year to do a bug bounty on one of our projects?
Bugs R Us.
HackerOne. Hacker One. Did she say Toys R Us? Wait, what?
Bugs R Us.
We hired Hacker One to go after a prototype system to help us understand a profile and make sure we weren't missing anything.
It was a really good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. So we even, it's like trying to proofread your own documents is really hard to do. So even our organization sometimes will use people like HackerOne to take a look at applications that either we've written or we're working with or whatever.
Wow.
But this is, so it's neat to watch this because it has all the same sort of fanfare of a major event. And you see this team is now in the disclosure room. Let's see if their exploit is accepted. And then when it's accepted, so for example, Microsoft Teams, for those of you who may use that at work, it's a collaboration software like Discord or Slack. Some team yesterday found a 0-day remote code execution on Microsoft Teams. Where they could run a piece of code and take over the accounts of Teams. There was an Apple Safari bug found yesterday, a 0-day.
That's surprising.
Wow, Carl.
I'm sorry. Apple Safari is not compliant. It hasn't been for a long time. Richard Campbell and I talk about this a lot on the show, and we think that one of the reasons that they're not up to date with their specs is that they don't want people, you know, using the browser. They want to use the browser, but they don't want people installing like progressive web apps that do everything that applications do because they want them to use the App Store.
That's interesting. That's an interesting paradigm.
Well, I mean, the reason that they don't support notifications, push notifications in progressive web apps, which everybody else does, by the way, it's either that they're stupid, they're lazy, or they're evil. Now, Apple stupid?
No, definitely not.
Lazy? No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
So, and by evil, what I mean, it was a conscious decision not to do it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Because
I don't know that there are any organizations with billions or trillions that aren't somewhat evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they look money after their own interests. Power. They look after their own interests and sometimes at the expense of usability.
I could see that. So it is interesting to watch. If ever you wanted to watch Pwn to Own, you could see some really cool exploits.
So you thought like being a gamer on Twitch was cool. There's nothing cooler. These guys are like the top athletes.
Yes.
The Olympians,
like
as you
said.
The
best of the best. To watch them pull off an exploit on a system and you're just in awe.
The brain athletes with inhalers.
Wow.
Some of them
now we're
gonna
get
diapers.
Asthmatic hate mail. Thanks, Patrick.
It's okay. I cannot run them.
Wow. Well,
they had to start after 3 because that's when school lets out, right?
See, I can't even pick on
I'm
that
totally
because
kidding.
I have an
you
inhaler.
Can't pick on them. They're the best.
I was the tough kid on the math team. I can handle both, so
that's really, that, really no. cool. I love that story. So what are we going to do? Are we going to post a bunch of links to these
I think we should.
Stories?
Yeah, I think we should. There's a lot of over the last couple of days, I've been sort of peppering our internal Slack with just like, hey, this got exploited and this got exploited and this is a write primitive anywhere. And they were so just so you know, just yesterday, there was a Firefox sandbox escape. So that means on the Firefox browser, they were able to get code to run outside of the browser from viewing a web page. There was an Oracle VirtualBox, which is a virtual machine software, escape, which was a 0-day. There was an Ubuntu, which is a Linux operating system, privilege escalation that nobody's ever seen before. Wow. There was an out-of-bounds write on Safari that gave you the ability from a web page to write anywhere on the remote hard drive. I mean, there's really cool bugs in here. Yeah, there's so many awesome things. So, yeah, we should definitely point to these. They'd be cool.
You know, it might be worth making a whole different page that we could keep adding to. What do you think of that?
I like that. I think that's cool. Yeah. And they run these several times a year. So you can just keep an updated list of the cool things that are happening.
Pwn to Own. Yeah. Actually, is there a Pwn to Own website that has these things listed?
There is. I don't know if they cleanly list them all. I'll take a look. If they are, we'll post that.
All right.
Coming to ESPN soon.
And you joke. Okay. You joke. If you go to Twitch, for all of you who use Twitch to watch gaming and that sort of stuff, there is a hacking esports channel on Twitch, which is, they stream probably once or twice a month. And they just hack systems and that sort of stuff. So I think there's going to be a bigger
problem.
I was
only slightly kidding because I know that Twitch, when I first heard about Twitch, I admit I was old enough to say, what? They're doing what? and then I saw people like Jeff Fritz recording programming on Twitch and it was popular.
Yeah.
And so now I've suspended my disbelief.
You don't question anything on Twitch? I like it.
No, I think it's going to be far bigger than I think it'll be. And that helps me anticipate better.
All right.
So this will be huge, I'm sure. I mean, we've got people like who do Hack the Box on YouTube and they get a lot of views. Somebody like Ipsec do a box on Hack the Box. And it's actually, I've watched a few of them just to see how he approaches things, even boxes we've taken down already. It is actually interesting. And for people who've never seen that stuff before, it's magical.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to see a real view, honestly, like I love this thread, but if you want to see a real view of what it's like to be a researcher like that, look for Live Overflow. So Live Overflow is a guy out of Germany. And what's great about his videos is he goes, okay, let's take a look at this system, or let's take a look at this exploit, or let's take a look at this whatever. And he goes through and he talks about the frustration. Like, I followed this code here. I don't even know what this does. But you know what? Let's set that aside for now. And I spent 12 hours in this path here, and it was just completely dead end.
He shows the rabbit holes.
Yeah, which is awesome to see, like, his frustration and how far he gets and the learning process, which is just really cool. He's fantastic. So,
all right. Next on the list, Europe agrees to adopt new NIS2 directive aimed at hardening cybersecurity.
Yeah, this is actually really cool. I'm super excited about this. This is, lots of people get concerned when the government gets involved in cybersecurity.
Right.
If you track the really, really, really early days of CISA before they were called CISA, and the NSA and FBI when computers were fairly new, there was an initiative to have the Computer Security Center actually release and work with organizations to secure their networks. And resoundingly, all of the Fortune 500 said, hell no, we never want any of you in our systems. And that's where we are today, is the government.
Yeah, but they do have capabilities that mere mortals don't have, don't they?
Right? Exactly. So, you know, I get the reticence, I do, but, you know, if some superpower in cyber said that they wanted to give me some tips and tricks on how to protect myself, hell yeah. I'd follow along.
It has another effect. If you're a U.S. Multinational company, which most of the Fortune 500 Global 2000 are, then if the U.S. government is in your network, then a lot of people don't want their data on your network because the U.S. government, they don't trust them not to take a peek.
Yeah.
So it really is a double-edged sword. I understand that. And in some of these countries, China and Russia, for example, there's no choice. You don't have a choice. But then other, their customers realize that if they give some data to a company in Russia, they're giving it to the Russian government as well.
Right.
So what's interesting about this is legislation in Europe that's really pushing to have government help around cybersecurity, helping small and medium businesses and helping them understand, what they need to do and that sort of stuff. I think more legislation like this to help people harden cybersecurity, because honestly, your normal organization is not prepared for a nation state attack.
No.
Just like my house is not prepared for a tank from from Russia. Wait, maybe from Russia, but a tank from anywhere else to come and try and roll over my house. Like, my house isn't prepared for that.
What kind of tank?
Patrick, au contraire. Mon ami.
M1, not ready.
Yeah, not ready.
We'll just throw some of those petit peurp egg potato things at them.
Yeah, you ordered French food again.
He is.
I can't remember what
Charles
it was.
Like, let's get off this call. I'm hungry.
No. I can get it because Europe is a little bit, shall we say, concerned lately, a little bit more about cybersecurity.
And they live in a regulatory environment that's far more regulation prone than we do over here on this side of the pond. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's the way they do it. The big problem is people are worried that they'll get it wrong. And it seems like they've actually paid attention to the experts in this one.
Yeah, which I'm kind of excited to see where this goes, honestly. So
unintended consequences are real when you get to these technical legislation. And so we just got to make sure that people have thought through the ramifications of what they do.
Mm. But it does look like they're targeting the right sectors, right? They say this requires companies in energy, transportation, financial markets, health, and digital infrastructure, and gives them risk management and that sort of stuff. So, you know, honestly, there are a lot of our infrastructure here, right? Russia was in the power grid here for a long time. So, you know, it wouldn't be bad to have more of that. So anyways, Carl.
Yeah.
This last article.
Last topic.
Last topic.
Oh, you want me to introduce the last
one? You have to intro this.
Are you ready? Some people call us the space pirates because we're hacking Russian aerospace firms. How's that? Is that good?
That was fantastic. That was better than I had hoped for, Carl.
You wanted me to just read it, didn't you?
God damn. But it was as bad as I feared.
Yeah, it was. Aww. But this is, as Dwayne says, this is the most awesome title for an article.
The best ever.
Chinese space pirates, in quotes, are hacking Russian aerospace firms. Flash Gordon will come to the rescue.
My God.
I'm shocked that Chinese APTs are going after Russia right now. I thought that they were, you know, Team Russia.
Kick them while they're down. Well, hey, listen, like, so I'll be honest, like, it seems like Chinese hackers are very happy to take whatever IP they can at any point in time, no matter whether you're a friend or foe. So yeah. We've noticed that year after year after year, but, yep. I believe that the team that's doing this, they're known as the Space Pirates
because of their targets in aerospace.
Although a lot of their tactics come from other groups, like APT-27 and Mustang Panda. So they're definitely an associated group.
I love that song.
Mustang Panda. So what's interesting, there's a couple different things I find very interesting about these attacks. First off, they start off with phishing, like every other attack starts off with phishing for the most part. And then if I remember what I read, I love these articles. If I remember what I read in here, they not only deploy, if you were to attack a system, and we do this all the time, we attack systems, you want the lowest profile possible. You don't want anybody to find out that you're there. You want to stay there as long as possible. Yeah. So you might deploy one or two pieces of ransomware. That's or malware, like remote access tools, rats. So you can get access to the systems, but you're so low key, nobody sees you.
Hmm. Under the radar.
Under the radar. This is not what the space pirates do.
No.
The space pirates, if you just listen to this particular part of the segment, the arsenal of the space pirates consists of custom loaders hiding behind decoy documents, slightly modified backdoors that have been around for years with a Chinese trademark. Plug X tailored spins for PC share backdoors. Okay, don't worry about that. Moreover, the space pirates have also employed Shadowpad, Zupdax, Poison Ivy, RevVB shell.
Dude, those are medications that my father-in-law takes.
Entirely possible.
For his rheumatism. Shadowpad, Zupdax. Zupdax. That's Zupdax. A medication, man. Pfizer makes it. Zupdax.
May cause diarrhea.
may cause death and dismemberment.
They deploy DeedRat, BHA-06, MyK Loader, and MyK Loader actually drops even more malware. It's like they took everything off the shelf they possibly could find and jammed it into one download and downloaded everything.
So do you think this points to the likelihood that this is not an actual government-backed effort, but instead a private effort that's trying to win IP to then go and make money from the government?
Is it the Chinese version of Pwn to Own?
Yeah. Because
it is such a loud, noisy tactic, and it's such a scorched earth tactic.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as professional as you'd normally see from the Chinese or the Russians.
It's not a bottle rocket. It's a freaking missile.
Yeah, it's – okay. So what was the book? I think it was – so this is how they tell me the world ends. But if not, there's like five cyber books I've listened to so far. But one of them did a very good job of describing the different APTs and their style.
APT?
And advanced persistent threats.
Okay.
So nation state attackers.
Got it.
And what they said is the China, and I, this isn't me, but what they said in the book, and I'll post the reference to the book, is that the Chinese hackers are very much like a drunken thief. They will they will come in and kick down the door, knock over like vases and shit, and then grab your TV and swear at you and walk out the door. That's the Chinese APT.
And they might mow your lawn.
What?
There was a thief that broke into a house and mowed the lawn before he left.
So there was an OCD.
He was like the monk of
I can't believe
thieves.
They let it go this long.
Right.
I'm going to mow this lawn.
I got to take care of this.
So wait a minute. There's a stone out of place. Hang on one second.
Yeah, but they're not this. I mean, this is like everything in the kitchen sink.
I know. So it's. The Chinese attackers have been very much likened to it's
there's a reason
loud
this is a
and
news
hard
report.
And fast.
There's right. a reason there's a report about this.
Yes, there is. But it's. I think it's on par. All I'm saying is I don't know if it's a private venture. I think this is on par with what their APTs do.
I think it matches. I think you're right. It does match the fact that they're louder. But I think it's so loud, I don't know that it could be a fully sanctioned op. I think it's peripheral to their actually official.
It's like 18 back doors in there.
It's like a Chinese chef serving a bowl of Szechuan peppers and adding more peppers to it.
It's just, by the way, every window in the house during a burglary and hoping they don't notice.
More is more.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So this crazy. It's interesting to watch. I've never seen the supported protocols just on the seat to the command and control structure where they can command these computers. The command and control structure supports, and these are protocols that it can communicate out on, as they have so many of them, TCP, TLS, HTTP, HTTPS, UDP, DNS. It's like they can communicate on anything because they have everything loaded on these computers, which is insane.
So they're crazy, but how dangerous are they?
So if they've gotten this far where they can deploy this, they're super dangerous. But this all comes back to social engineering, people clicking on things they shouldn't. If you were to tell me that they did this through a fully patched, fully firewalled system, yeah, that would be pretty, they'd be Israel, but
yes, but I would submit that they're dangerous. You wouldn't want to be one of their targets.
No,
but I would rather be one of their targets than someone who's willing to play the long game who I wouldn't find for months and months.
Right, like the U.S. or Israel. If you're the target of U.S. or Israel, they are the best of the best of the best. There's no news about it.
Right. There's no news.
You've never seen it.
You don't hear about the U.S. Hacking very often unless the Nakasone, General Nakasone is the one who announces that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true with Israel. And I'm not naive enough to think that we're not doing it and Israel's not doing it. I just think we're better at not getting caught. And I think that's because you don't go in and you not break every window at the same time.
So that's the thing. Isn't that to their detriment that they do that? I mean,
absolutely.
They just destined to get caught?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, it's like the smash and grab. But what's the penalty for getting caught? There's no extradition.
No, but on top of that, I think if you're going to go steal some stuff from Patrick's house, like one person's probably, or
good
two
luck.
People might, wait, two people might die to the dogs. Right. Okay. I get it. Or tie them up, whatever. And one or two people may die to Patrick's hand. But if you went with like 18 guys, it wouldn't be quiet, but you'd get some shit out of Patrick's house. Right.
Right.
So
just
I think
the bodies
that's
of your comrades.
So I think it's more that tactic, Patrick. It's like, listen, I'm going to deploy 15 back doors. And if three of them are found, whatever.
If 18 guys show up at my house tonight, I'm coming after you.
What are you worried about it, Patrick?
Yeah, no, Patrick.
I had a movie night planned. So.
Oh, all right. It'd be a distraction. Well, we have the title for this show.
Oh,
Space Pirates Attack.
Woohoo! This is a great show.
This has been great fun. And, patch, except for that Microsoft thing. Don't
except for where you shouldn't.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.